And we are here. Hi, ladies, gentlemen, and killers out there. All my fans and all the people from around the world who enjoy good radio and who enjoy underground, deep underground radio. That's what killradio.org is all about, you know. You know, there are some very influential people in some very major marketplaces and other places who actually do listen to Kill Radio. They would never admit to it. They would never reveal. That's where they get a lot of their taste and a lot of their opinion. But they're out there. They show their... They surface once in a while, and we find out about them. Be that as it may, here we go. Get out of nightmare mode there. Come on, play, dog. Oh, shit.
Stay that way. Happiness
phone. Oh, wait. Hi, people. You know, I was just thinking about Macy Gray and how happy she is. And I was thinking, you know, that girl is probably dangerous, you know? I got to tell you, when I get a chance, about a girl I know and my best friend. He loved a woman and put her down when talking change. We'll be right back.
about to fight. Cause I'm burning. I'm dead as anybody can be. I'm ready for you. I hope that you're ready for me.
And that, of course, was the great, great Lester Butler. And that was the original Red Devils band live at the King King. Oh, man, what a great guy he was. I shook his hand once on Hollywood and Vine. Saw him at the Sugar Shack, saw the original Red Devils. Wow. Not many like him. Not many like him. Lester Butler. What a great man. Oh, so that was I'm Ready, which is, was that a Muddy Waters song? I'm Ready. And then before that, She's Dangerous. I played in tribute to Macy Gray, who did Happiness to start the show. I'm feeling happy today. I don't know. Maybe if you've been minding my progress, I sweated for months and finally found a stinking job. And it is that, by the way, but still, it's a job. The job even called me last night on the phone while I was going about my personal business and asked me a question, and I had an answer, thank God. So hopefully I'm not in the doghouse at my job, but hopefully it'll take care of me. And with my job, I was able to propel myself forward a few inches and actually landed an apartment this afternoon, signed the papers, paid the deposit, have a little bit more money to pay on the apartment, and we'll be paid up through July. We, being me and my erstwhile new roommate, Les Beagle, who is a retired radio broadcaster and engineer, voiceover guy, has a great voice just like me. And he's like me in 20 years, I hope. but maybe I'll be in better shape, and we can look forward to maybe keeping each other in better shape in a roommate situation there with a two-bedroom apartment right on the edge of the projects over across the street from Dorsey High, right down the street from the Ralphs on La Brea and Rodeo. Anyway, so after I've shared that good news with you all, let me go on to a little bit of news. Here's an article I found in the paper. Now, it's for an event that may have passed, yet it is an insight into music marketing, which is a shout-out to my friend Alex Audio and perhaps Alex Selleman, Alex Schmaus, and also Alias Dave, Bicycle Billy Sanchez. You might give a listen to this article because it kind of gives you something to think about. Okay, it says, Music Industry Conference returns to L.A. Unlike 20 years ago, NARMS event, not NAM, not the NAM show, it's the NARMS show event, will include startups and non-music companies, by Alex Pham. The last time the music industry honchos had their major convention in Los Angeles, Mariah Carey had not yet released her first album, and Tower Records still reigned supreme on Sunset Boulevard. This week, when the National Association of Recording Merchandisers, National Association of Recording Merchandisers, got that NARM, hits Los Angeles after 20 years of holding the event elsewhere, the conference will reflect a radically different landscape. There you go. U.S. sales of music in the form of vinyl records, CDs, and such plunged 50%. To $3.6 billion in 2010 from $7.2 billion in 1990, according to the Recording Industry Association of America. At the same time, digital music sales have climbed to $3.2 billion from zero, helping Apple Incorporated's iTunes snatch the title of the country's number one music retailer from Walmart Stores Incorporated in 2008. How about them apples? Music commerce has evolved. Duh, said Jim Donio, president of the Recording Merchandisers Group, or NARM. We have also. Word to the wise. Gone are words such as inventory and rack jobbing, which referred to the placement of records and CDs on retail shelves. Instead, hot topics this year are meta tags, mobile applications, and cloud, all of which allude to how the industry has shifted its focus on music as a physical commodity to a set of intellectual property rights that can be deployed in myriad ways. For the first time in 16 years, you can look forward to a world that's very exciting, said Roger McNamee, a managing partner of Silicon Valley venture firm Elevation Partners, who was slated to give NARM's keynote speech Wednesday. And everything that is exciting about it is going to be favorable to those who create content. Alex, Dave, musicians and labels can now get paid each time their songs are streamed by an internet music service, downloaded on iTunes, played as background music in television shows, used as tracks in a video game, or loaded in a mobile phone as an incentive to buy the device. As a result, NARM's conference, which runs Monday through Thursday in Century City, Monday through Thursday, this is dated Monday, May 9th. Uh-oh, we're fucked. Anyway. Will feature dozens of small music startups that wouldn't have made it past the velvet rope of yore, as well as companies that would not have been associated with the music business in the past. This year in particular, there are about 100 new companies coming, said Bill Wilson, NARM's Director for Digital Strategy. Nimbit, Brightcove, Indaba, Ardeo, Root Music, Slacker, Spotify, and T-Mobile are some of the new companies you'll see. He's dropping names on us now. One company, Microgen, is a prime example of how the music industry has changed. The British firm, which builds complex computer accounting systems for investment firms, last year established a U.S. office to serve the music industry. As people come up with fantastically new ways to monetize music, excuse me, I didn't mean to say that. The business gets more and more complex, said Tom Crawford, a senior vice president at Microgen. Oh, he's British. The products are looking like financial instruments. They have multiple cash flow streams, complex revenue recognition points such as subscriptions, downloads, pay-as-you-go, each with a variety of pricing structures. All of that is looking like the products of an investment bank. Sound daunting? Don't worry, NARM has lined up an agenda to school its 1,000 expected attendees on this brave new world. Among the sessions are those titled Digital Think Tank and Music Business Crash Course. The conference didn't always involve this much work, Donio said. In fact, the event used to toggle in the 1980s between L.A. and Miami, where industry honchos would bring along their families and treat the affair as a vacation. As more music startups crop up on the West Coast, the decision to hold the conference in Los Angeles again was based on economics, Donio said. This is the place where content and commerce meet, he said. Some things haven't changed. The event continues to serve as a coming-out platform for promising new artists. In 1990, an unknown Mariah Carey sang a duet with Michael Bolton, electrifying the audience. The following year, Carey won 2 Grammy Awards for her debut album. Other singers who have made their debut at NARM include Taylor Swift and Josh Groban. This year, Donio expects 15 to new performances by brand new artists. And as with the music startups that have signed up for the event, you never know who's going to be the breakout success. And there's a little insert here that says, music, then and now. It's been 2 decades since the National Association of Recording Merchandisers met in Los Angeles to jawbone about the music industry. Those bastards. Here are a few of the things that have changed in that time. U.S. music revenue, 1990, $7.2 billion. 2010, $6.9 billion. Well, that's pretty close. Top music retailer, 1990, Walmart stores. 2010, Apple's iTunes. Number of major record labels, 1990, 6. Warner Music Group, EMI Group, CBS Records, Bertelsmann Music Group, Polygram Records, and MCA Records, 2010, 4. Warner Music Group, EMI Group, Sony Music Entertainment, and Universal Music Group, period. Top song on Billboard, 1990, Hold On by Wilson Phillips. 2010, Tick Tock by Keisha with a dollar sign for an S. Yeah. Well, there you go. All right. Well, that's something to think about, just about music marketing and the way it changes, huh? Anyway, here, let me play one more Lester Butler tune for you, okay? Here, try this one. did. Plays that 10 times. Hey, one more by Lester Butler, huh? That's Devil Woman. And I don't know, I thought I'd play you a little Chumbawamba. How many radio stations play Chumbawamba anymore, huh? How many have you heard, huh? Honest. Here we go. Get this turned up. Come on, baby.
Ticket, 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 time bomb. I am a time bomb. that sound? Everybody look, what's going down? Stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look, what's going down? Stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look, what's going down? Stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look, what's going down? Stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look, what's going down?
Unity is here and unity will grow. Open your eyes, time to Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough.
Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. Open your eyes, time to wake up. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough.
Wow, that was Bob Marley. That was Bob Marley. On that note, I wanted to read this article here. It came from actually Friday the 13th newspaper, Weekend LA Life from the LA Times. So it's pretty recent, pretty fresh. It's something that's ongoing right now, so you might take interest. Museum exhibit presents deeper look into Bob Marley by Sandra Barrera, staff writer. On opening day of the new Bob Marley Messenger exhibit at the Grammy Museum, Ziggy Marley stands at an open display case, running his hand over the curves of a mahogany Gibson Les Paul Special that belonged to his father. A photographer cracks, "Ziggy, don't touch that guitar without white gloves on," he chuckles. The famous Les Paul guitar, seen near the equally famous Rolling Stone magazine cover of February 1976 when Bob Marley and the Wailers were named Band of the Year, is on view through October 2nd. If I lost it, I'm fucked. Okay, there it is. In the interactive exhibit that seeks to demystify the reggae icon and show him for what he was, a private, spiritual man and a powerful artist whose lyrics gave voice to the disenfranchised. Bob Marley Messenger comes on the 30th anniversary of his death. It brings together more than 40 artifacts, rare on- and offstage photographs and personal items from the family's private collection, some of which Marley's 38-year-old daughter, Karen Marley, says she's never seen, including the colorful dresses worn by her father's backup singers and photos of him relaxing at home. "I never grew up with him, but I did see him a lot, and I do remember going to his house and everyone being outside playing soccer," says L.A.-based clothing designer, currently working with her sister, Sedilia Marley, on the 2012 Olympic outfits for the Jamaican track and field team. "He was a happy guy, always positive," adds her musician brother. "He was fit. He was a huge fanatic for soccer, always running, doing sit-ups and push-ups, boxing, playing table tennis," Ziggy says. "I think he really wanted to be an athlete. Instead, Bob Marley took reggae from Kingston, Jamaica, to the rest of the world and became its biggest star." As visitors walk into the exhibit, they are greeted by a giant boombox playing a selection of Bob Marley and the Wailers classics, including Buffalo Soldier. From the timeline painted on a nearby wall, they can see that song was featured on the posthumously released album Confrontation in 1983. Underneath the timeline is a row of listening stations. There's a Rastafarian flag, portrait of Ethiopian Emperor Haile Selassie, and Marcus Garvey's "The Work That Has Been Done" speech that went on to inspire Marley's redemption song. Elsewhere, there are concert placards, an understated embroidered denim stage shirt, and video monitors featuring interviews with a variety of artists, from Carlos Santana to Nas, talking about Marley's legacy. And then there's his guitar, on loan from the Bob Marley Museum in Kingston, Jamaica. For Ziggy, it's like a direct link to his father. "There's some remnant of his energy in that guitar that will always be there," he says. "I'd love to hear the guitar's stories." Next to a really good picture of him. "Wow. Musician Bob Marley was a happy guy, always positive," says his daughter, Karen. An exhibit at the Grammy Museum, Bob Marley Messenger, comes on the 30th anniversary of his passing. And here's the insert here. Another really good picture of him. Where the Grammy Museum, 800 West Olympic Boulevard, Los Angeles, when 11:30 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Saturday and Sunday through October 2nd. Tickets, $10.95 to $12.95. Members and children ages 5 and under are admitted free. Information, www.grammymuseum.org or 213-265-6800. Thank you very much. All right. right, back to stuff. Dedicate this song to Sandra.
A good morning, little schoolgirl. Can I go home with you? Tell your mother and your papa I'm a little schoolboy too. Baby, I love you this morning. I can't help myself. Come on now, pretty baby. I don't need nobody. Good morning, little school girl. Hey, 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 hey. Ooh, 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 wee. I'm gonna leave you, baby, about the break of day. On the kind of way you treat me, I got to stay away. Good morning, little school girl. Can I go home with you? Tell your mom and your father that I'm a schoolboy too. Come on now, pretty boy. Baby, come on home. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Airplane and fly all over your town to tell everybody, baby, Lord knows you're fine. I can't stand it, baby. I just can't help myself. Ow! You're so young and pretty. You love somebody else. Good morning, little school girl. Oh, can I go home with you? I go home. Good morning, little school girl. Can I go home? Good morning, little school girl. Can I go home? Good morning, little school girl. Can I go home? Good morning, little school girl. Can I go home?
Well,
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, I'm just coming to the end of my first hour, so I thought I might end the podcast here just so that it's a reasonable length, and we'll come back right away with part two. All right, so that, of course, was Buddy Guy and Junior Wells doing both Messing with the Kid and the previous song, Good Morning Little School Girl. And, of course, before that was the Bob Marley set. But anyway, come right back, so stay tuned.